For our Old Testament readings this morning, we're going to start with Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. You'll find that on page 2 of the Bibles provided for you. Genesis 2, 1 through 3. And then we're going to flip over to Exodus chapter 20 and read verses 8 through 11 on page 61. Exodus 20 on page 61. We're going to be focusing on these verses from Genesis this morning, so when we flip over to Exodus, I just recommend keeping your finger in the Genesis passage so you can flip back there, because we're going to be spending our time looking at that this morning. But over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be looking at the idea of the Sabbath, the Lord's Day. We're going to look at this fourth commandment that God has given us. And some Christians today think that the fourth commandment doesn't apply to us, that it was somehow something that applied to Israel in the Old Testament. Only to Israel in the Old Testament. But I hope to show you today and in the weeks ahead that it does apply today, and that it is a great blessing from God for us, that He's given us a day every week for Him. And so to do that, we're going to start this week by looking at where the idea of a day of rest first came from, where this idea of the Sabbath first appears in God's Word. So I'll read here from Genesis 2 and then Exodus chapter 20. This is the Word of God. "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation." And then if you can turn over to Exodus chapter 20, Exodus 20, we're going to read verses 8 through 11. Exodus 20, 8 through 11. "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." We'll end the reading of God's perfect word here at this point. Conversations about the Sabbath often focus on the do's and don'ts. What should Christians be doing on Sunday? What should Christians not be doing on Sunday? And those are important discussions, especially if you're a parent or if you're an employer. You have to make decisions that will affect the people who are under your charge. You have to make decisions on what you will require people to do or what you will not. But before we get into some of those more practical questions in the next couple of weeks, we need to look at God's Word to see where this idea of Sabbath came from. Where this idea of a day of rest started, where it came from in the first place. As I said, many Christians today argue that the Sabbath was a law for Israel that was specially given to the nation of Israel. But I hope you'll see from God's Word this morning that a day for rest and worship was not first a special law for Israel. Genesis tells us here that the Sabbath is connected with creation. And not just connected with creation, but connected with our Creator. That God gave us the Sabbath, gave us a day of rest, because He is a personal Creator. Oh God, who created us for a relationship with Him. And from the beginning, God set a pattern for our lives to include a 7-day week, and in that 7-day week, to have one day of rest and worship. A day to rest and be with our Creator. And so before we look at the effects of sin on the Sabbath, before we look at the idea of redemption in the Sabbath, which are very closely connected, before we look at what the Sabbath said for the nation of Israel, the Bible tells us here that the Sabbath is a day for your relationship with God as your Creator. So brothers and sisters, keep the Sabbath because God is your Creator. Keep the Sabbath because God is your Creator. Now, as I've been hinting, even the idea of a seven-day week is rooted in our relationship with our Creator. And so we're going to work our way from that general idea of the week to more specifically the day of rest. And so, first of all, have 7 days in your week like your Creator did. Have 7 days in your week like your Creator did. That may seem like kind of a silly thing to tell you to do, because we all have 7 days in our week. But think for a moment, why are there 7 days in the week? Where did that idea of having 7 days come from? It's kind of second nature to us. We don't think about it. Everybody has 7 days in their week. It's hard to imagine life in any other way. But to help us think about this, step back and think about where we get our other units of time from. Think about where we get the day from. Kids, how do we know when the day starts and when the day ends? How do you know that it's the next day? Right? It's the sun that tells us, right? The sun rises, and we know it's the daytime. And then the sun sets, and we know it's the nighttime. And then the sun rises again, and we know it's a new day. Right? So the sun tells us that we're supposed to live our life in days. Right? We have day and night that the sun tells us about. And then what about months? Well, this is a little more tricky because we don't actually have a lunar calendar anymore. But the idea of months comes from the moon. Right? It takes the moon roughly a month to go through its phases. And so the moon tells us, it gives us that unit of time. It helps us organize our lives in roughly 30-day increments, in the months of the year. The lights in the sky also tell us what time of year it is. You think about the weather, definitely tells us what season it is. But ultimately, if you look up at the heavens, if you look at the sky, the stars and the sun will tell you what time of year it is. There are certain, I don't know if you know this, but there are certain constellations that are winter constellations, certain ones that are summer constellations. You can't see them at certain times of the year. And so there's this yearly cycle that we're given through the natural world. All of these other ways of measuring time have a natural way that God has given us to understand how long those times are supposed to be. And then this is a biblical idea. You see this earlier in Genesis. In Genesis 1, verse 14. If you look back at when God creates those lights in the sky, it says in Genesis 1:14, God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years." You notice what's missing there. He talks about days, he talks about years, he talks about seasons, but you notice there's no mention of weeks. That the week, there's no natural basis for a seven-day week. There's nothing in the world around us that tells us we're supposed to organize our lives in seven-day increments. You can't, to put it another way, you can't look up at the sky and say, it's Tuesday, because of something that's in the sky. You can say, well, if we were doing a lunar calendar, you could say, well, it's earlier in the month, it's later in the month. But you can't do that with the week. And so because of that, because there's no natural basis for it, it's true that in history, people have tried to have other lengths of the week. You may know that in the French Revolution, they tried for a 10-day week because everything had to be metric. And so they had a 10-day week, and it was miserable. And it didn't go well, and they ended up giving up on it. You may not know that the Soviets in the Communist Revolution in Russia tried a 5-day week. They tried a 5-day week from 1929 to 1931. And when that was failing miserably, they tried a 6-day week. And that lasted until 1940. And they finally gave up at that point and just went back to the 7-day week. And in those cases, it showed that we're made for a 7-day week. It works best in our lives to have a 7-day week, but there's still no natural, there's no sign in nature to show us when a week starts and a week ends. And that is because God left the week as something for him to tell us personally. He left the week, the 7-day week, as something that he would reveal to us personally and reveal to us in our relationship with him. God has personally revealed that our lives are supposed to be in 7-day weeks. And if he had just been a clockmaker, the sort of deistic, detached God who just cut us loose and wanted us to figure it all out by ourselves, he would have given us a way to measure the week in the natural world. But he didn't, because he wanted to communicate that to us personally. Living life 7 days at a time is part of our personal relationship with God. And as we'll see, he said that those 7 days should be structured in a way that for us to have a personal relationship with him. We love pizza in our house. We have pizza every week, every Friday night. For the last 8 years of our lives, we've made pizza together every Friday night. And that's just the way it is for our kids, right? For all they know, that's just the way it is for everybody. You always have pizza on Friday nights. And they don't think about it. There's no reason for it in the backs of their minds. But for Lisa and me, we know that there's a personal connection with that. We know that when we were first married, we loved making pizza together, and we decided we're going to do this every week. And it has a personal connection there. And so when we make the effort to have those ingredients on hand, and we plan for that to work every week, it's because we see the personal connection with that. It's part of our marriage. It's part of our relationship. But again, for our kids, it's just part of the way that life works. And friends, when it comes to the week, to the seven-day week, I think we're most often like our kids in that situation, right? We don't think about it. It's just the way it is. We just have 7 days in the week. That's the way it's always been, and you don't really think about why. But our passage this morning is a reminder to us that the week is based on a relationship. There's a personal connection to the idea of a seven-day week that was given to us by God, even if we don't realize that most of the time as we're going about our lives. So based on this passage, brothers and sisters, on this creation account where God established these 7 days, remember that your week, your 7 day week, is part of your relationship with him. And when you're looking at your calendar this week and you see there's only 7 boxes and it doesn't go to 8 and it's not only 5, and you see those weeks, remember that's something that God told us, that God gave us, that God didn't reveal through the natural world so that he could reveal it to us personally. Now, even though the idea of the week is deeply rooted in our culture, and I don't think we're in danger of actually getting rid of the 7 day week in our culture in some ways, in other ways, the idea of a weekly cycle is crumbling. There are so many businesses that operate without any kind of a weekly cycle to their work, and certainly not with a day of rest for their employees. And there are obviously workplaces, that, you know, the police and the hospitals and others who can't go on a weekly cycle. They need to be going 7 days a week with those things. But many businesses today treat Sunday like any other day. And friends, God has created us to have a 7 day cycle in our lives, and he's revealed that to us personally. We were created to have 7 day weeks. Now, this idea of a week, of a 7 day week, doesn't mean much if there's no distinction between the days, right? You could say you have a 7 day week, but if there's no difference between the days, then it doesn't mean much. But God has told us, he's told us here in Genesis 2, how we're supposed to distinguish between the days of the week. And from the very beginning here, he has given us a pattern of working for 6 days and resting on 1 day. So secondly, work 6 days like your Creator did. Work 6 days like your Creator did. If you look at these verses here in Genesis 2, these first 3 verses of the chapter, you'll see a phrase repeated over and over again in verses 1 through 3. And 3 times in these 3 verses, it talks about the work that he had done, the work that God had done. And that's a reference to those first 6 days of creation, that God had been working to create new parts of this universe and new creatures of all different kinds. He'd been working for 6 days. And God could have done that in a moment. God could have just said, just created the world with a snap of his fingers, and the world could have come into being just like that. But God chose in his wisdom, he chose to create in 6 days to set this pattern for us, to set the pattern that we should work for 6 days of the week. He was productive, he was creative over those 6 days, and then chose to rest on the 7th day. So this is a pattern that God set for Adam and Eve before the fall. Before sin entered the world, God told them to work 6 days like he had, and to rest for 1 day like he had. And so as we think about the Sabbath, the Sabbath command, the 4th commandment, doesn't just affect 1 day a week. It's not just about the Lord's day. It's not just about a day of rest. It tells us what to do with every day of the week. If in what we read in Exodus chapter 20 earlier in verse 9, the fourth commandment says, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. And that doesn't just mean, well, if you have to work, make sure you do it on those 6 days. It's saying you've been created to work. You've been created and you should work. You should be productive. You should be creative and be producing and being and working hard for those 6 days. And then you also should be resting on one day. And remember, again, this is before sin entered the world. This is the way we were created to be. Because our work is so affected by sin, because there's so much toil and pain involved in our work so often, we sometimes think that given the choice, we would rather not work at all. That the ultimate goal is early retirement. The ultimate goal is to be doing as little as possible, to have the shortest work week possible. But we see here in Genesis 2, if you go on a few more verses to verse 15, that it says, God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. Work is a good thing. We were created for it. And it's hard to imagine what that work was like in the garden before there was disease or weeds or bad weather, any of those things that make our work such a struggle. But they were working 6 days a week before the fall. That's because it's part of what it means to be like our Creator. God had created the world in 6 days, and so he called them to be like him, to spend 6 days working. And so, yes, our work has been cursed. It's painful. If you go on to Genesis 3, it'll tell you about how we, by the sweat of our brow, we have to get food out of the ground. But remember that this work existed before the fall. And then in Isaiah 65, where Isaiah talks about the new heavens and the new earth, it's not, the new heavens and the new earth aren't a place of just a perpetual leisure. They're a place where we work it productively and without our work being in vain. It says in Isaiah 65, 22 and 23, my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain. Work is part of how we're created to be. And God tells us from the beginning we're to do that for 6 days. For our day of rest to mean something and to matter, there needs to be a contrast to the other 6 days. If you're on a work site, maybe you're overseeing a work site, and you have someone who's just sitting around not doing much, texting on their phone, takes forever to do every job, is just sitting around not doing very much, and then they come up to you and they say, hey, I'm going to go on my break, then you would be rightly upset. You'd say, you haven't been doing any work. What do you mean a break? You've been taking a break for this whole time. And friends, in the same way, if our day of rest is going to be meaningful, if for us to be justified in taking a day of rest, we need to be working the other 6 days. It's part of what we're created to do. There's supposed to be a contrast there. Do you see work as part of who you're created to be? Do you see it as part of a good part of the creation God has given us? Kids, I know when I was little, I was terrified of the idea of working full time. I did not want to work. I hated hard work. And the idea of going to work all day for 5 or 6 days a week was just sounded awful to me. And I just wanted to do everything I could to avoid that. And maybe that's the way you think about it. Maybe you think you want to do everything you can to have vacation and to have time off from school and to not ever have to do any hard work. But that's not the way we're created to be. God gave us work to do, and it's good. And in fact, it's so much more fulfilling to work and to be productive. And so recognize that's part of who we're created to be. Are we as a community known for being hardworking? I know that this church has had a reputation for a long time for being Sabbath keepers on the Lord's Day. But are we known for being Sabbath keepers all week long? Are we known for that productive, committed, God-glorifying work 6 days a week? Do people know us in our communities and see that we value work and we see it as part of our relationship with our Creator? Because that's part of this Sabbath command. We were created to work 6 days a week. Now, these verses do, in Genesis 2, do talk a lot about God's work, but the focus here really is on this day of rest, this one day that God has made holy. And so thirdly, to keep the Sabbath, Rest one day like your Creator did. Rest one day like your Creator did. Our passage tells us here that God rested on the seventh day. He stopped what he'd been doing. He had been creating new things for 6 days, and then when he was finished, he stopped and he rested. Now, that's always been hard for us to wrap our minds around. Why would God need to rest? It's not that God is tired. God is not wiped from a hard work week and needs a day to kick back. It's not that God, I mean, God is all powerful. He doesn't need to rest. He doesn't need a break. And this passage, though, doesn't really tell us specifically why God rested. Exodus 31, verse 17 tells us a little more. Exodus 31, 17 says, "In 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed." But again, that maybe doesn't help us much more, because God doesn't need to be refreshed. It's not like he's exhausted and needs a time of refreshment. But this idea of rest is connected with what you see in Genesis 1 at the end of every day of creation. If you know that creation account, at the end of every day of creating, God looked at what he had created and said that it was good. And at the very end, he looked and it was very good. And just like when you're working on a project and you kind of pause at points along, and maybe you're making something, and you pause and you say, okay, we've finished that part. And you stop and you get the satisfaction of seeing that it's good, and you can move on to the next phase. God did that all through creation. But then at the end of it all, God stopped and looked at his creation, and he rested in his own glory in creation. He rested, and it maybe sounds strange to us to be resting in your own glory, but this is God we're talking about. This is not us. God, it's absolutely right for God to rest in his own glory, to look at his creation and enjoy the goodness that he had made and to rest in that. And also remember that here on the seventh day, Adam and Eve had already been created. They were created in the sixth day. And so God, when we see those hints at that close relationship between God and Adam and Eve in Genesis 2 and 3, I think we can assume that God spent that day, that seventh day, with his image bearers, with his people that he had just created. It was a day to pause, to spend time together. And because God rested to enjoy his glory in creation and to be with his people, he set the pattern that's how we are to spend our one day of rest each week. We spend that day to enjoy God's glory and to glorify him and to spend time with him in our relationship with him. Because God, this passage tells us in verse 3 that God did something to the seventh day. He did something to the seventh day. It says that he blessed that seventh day and he made it holy. And these aren't instructions, these aren't the things that he did for his own sake. These refer to his relationship with us. He told us that this day was blessed and this day is holy. He blessed it as a special time, a time of enjoyment. As Jesus says, man was not made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath for man. God blessed that day, and so if you keep that day, you will enjoy blessings from God through doing that. But maybe more importantly here, he made it holy. That's the command in Exodus 20. The command is to keep the day holy. And holy means to be set apart for God, to be protected or set aside as special for him. Right? If you think about the things that were holy in the Old Testament, there were holy instruments that were only to be used in the tabernacle. They weren't used for a common everyday use. There were the holy priests who were set apart as a special people, and they had to wear special clothes to set them apart as something different. And God says here that the Sabbath day, the day of rest, is to be set apart as holy. It's protected. This is kind of like if you're married and your spouse is going to be showing up late to an event, to a meal. You might think, well, they're going to get here after the meal, so I'm going to fill up a plate and I'm going to set it aside. And you're going to say, this is for him or this is for her. And you're going to fend off the ravenous teenagers who are trying to eat that food because you want to have food for your spouse. And you say, this is for him, this is for her. I'm going to protect it and set it aside so because it's special. That's what making the day holy means. It means you're not using it for all the regular stuff. You're not making it a day for your regular work, your regular recreations. It's a day for God. It's a day for Him, protected, and something that you have to actively protect and keep set aside for Him. And friends, I want you to see that this was true from the beginning. That before there was sin that was distracting us, before there was the toil that we do all week long, in the beginning there was supposed to be a day that was protected, a day that was special for God. And we'll cover this more in the weeks ahead, but notice again, it's a whole day. It's not the morning that you set aside for God. It's not the hour that you set aside for God. So again, it's not a day that we were given later because sin made work so hard that we need a break. It wasn't a command to Israel that came along with this other special commands to Israel. When the world was perfect, when there was no suffering, when there was no sin, there was Sabbath. There was a day every week set aside for the Lord. And so do you see what we lose if we give up that day of rest? Do you see what we lose if we give up this idea of Sabbath? So many Christians today think that we're being liberated if we get rid of the Sabbath. They say that we're getting rid of the shackles of this Old Testament restriction, and isn't it so great that we can do whatever we want on any day of the week, and it's this, like, it's this freedom that's such a blessing. But this was part of the life in the Garden of Eden. How many of us would want to go back to the Garden of Eden to know what it was like to be in paradise with God? And in paradise with God, there was one day a week for rest and worship of God. We are not just created to be productive. We're created to have a relationship with God, to spend time with Him. And so I hope you see that this, again, this is not something that came later. This is from the beginning. And so as you talk with maybe Christian friends who don't see this, point them back to Genesis. Remind them that this started at creation. Show them that it's part of how we're meant to be, and that it will be best, it is best for us to live with this structure of 6 days of work and one day of rest. Now, I've been talking this whole time about this day of rest and this good relationship with our Creator. I've been talking about how the Sabbath existed before the fall, but the bad news is that after Genesis 2 comes Genesis 3. And in Genesis 3, Adam and Eve did not stay in that blessed relationship with God. Adam and Eve disobeyed and rebelled against God. And every one of us since has been rebelling against God. And so, as I urge you today to work 6 days and to rest one day, being a Sabbath keeper will not save you. Taking that one day a week and being religiously careful about giving that day to God will not save you. Jesus Christ saved you. And we'll look next week at how the Sabbath is a day for your Redeemer. And that's such a key idea that's why we celebrate the Sabbath on the first day of the week. And we'll talk more about that later. But it's not good news on its own that God is our Creator. We don't all have a great relationship with our Creator when we're born. We need a Redeemer. And Jesus came to die on the cross so that if you confess your sin, He will forgive you. And welcome you back into that relationship we've been talking about. Welcome you back into that close relationship with your Creator. And the goal, if you look at the very end of the Bible, is that we'll come back to the garden. We'll be back where the tree of life is. We'll be back in that close relationship with God. And He starts that work now in our lives. And so if you want to enjoy part of the blessings of the garden, the blessings of being in that close relationship with God, keep this Sabbath day, this day of rest that was part of that garden back then. Keep that Sabbath day a day to be with God and enjoy part of that blessing even now as we look forward to our final rest in the new heavens and the new earth. Brothers and sisters, keep the Sabbath because God is your Creator. Let's pray. Our gracious Father in heaven, we long so much to be close to you. And when we look back at the good creation that you made, and we look at the garden and Adam and Eve's relationship with you before the fall, we see just how much this world has been affected by sin. And we do toil. Our labor, our work is hard. Lord, we fight sin in our own hearts. We see our own sinfulness and our need for your work in us. And Lord, so often the Sabbath day or your day is a burden because of the sinfulness of our hearts. We don't want to give that day to you. But Lord, please fill our hearts with this idea of our relationship with you as our Creator and how good it is to have that time with you. Lord, help us to delight in the Sabbath and make it a blessing to us as you already have. Help us to make it holy because we love you and because we want to serve you well. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.